You can turn in your Bibles to Psalm 37. We'll be there in a little bit. We've been talking about the ways that God intervenes in our lives. Some of them we recognize and some we don't. And what He promises from His Word that He will do if we'll allow Him. The title of the message today is Sin or Self. It has to do with one phase of our worship to Him and our living for Him through sanctification, this process that we're going through after we're born again to be cleaned up, to be more like Jesus. So much of that requires our cooperation. And we don't always see some of these things. But today I would like to try to describe the difference in sins. We all have sins, the Scripture says. Some of them are enabled by ourselves, and some of them are not. Now, all of them are a choice. And that's the thing we need to understand. But they don't all originate in the same place. And we need to understand that too. That in order for God's promises to be real to us, there are certain things that we must do as Christians in order to qualify for those promises. We've already looked at all the things that will keep God from working with us on a daily basis. Our sin, mainly. But we're looking at the origin of some of that sin today. You know, in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41, Jesus told the disciples in the garden to watch and listen and to pray. He told them that your mind wants to do the spiritual things, but your flesh is too weak to accomplish it. So Paul in the 7th chapter of Romans talks about he has learned that there is a war going on in him between the old man, me, and the new man, that which Jesus has come in and changed. And that's the discussion for today. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus told the people, if any would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Now, in the Bible, you will, as you read, you will find some places that have to do a great deal about us today as Christians. And the cross. Now we know that Jesus died on the cross to enable us to be born again. But there is a place for that cross today. And I'm not talking about hanging it around your neck with some kind of shiny mineral. I'm talking about the cross that He died on. And there is a picture, a mental picture that God is trying to show us in the Bible about how that works. And the question comes up at the start for us to ask ourselves as we listen to this, are we watching and listening and praying around us as we go each day? Are we denying ourselves? In other words, are we making the choice for Jesus in a matter or demanding that we defend ourselves? And there's the problem. He says to take up your cross and follow me. Now, another way of saying that is for us to climb up on that cross because the Bible says we died with him. We died to sin and to the old man that I was before I was saved. I'm supposed to have died to that. It's a figure of speech, and it's a picture that we can see. That each day we climb up on that cross and be with Jesus all day that day. And we're safe as long as we're there. In Psalms 25:15, David says, "Mine eyes are always toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net." Now we understand this thing about sin, that Satan is traveling back and forth across the earth, looking for whom he may devour. And his way of devouring us is to destroy that thing in our life that God has asked us to do for him down here. Because God's work is actually done through us. We are his hands. We're his mouth. We're his feet and his ears and his eyes. And so Satan, by destroying what we're doing for God, in other words, by bringing sin into our life, defeats that thing that Christ died for. And he is about it. He is tempting us from every way. And he's setting, as David said, snares for us, traps for us. Now we know that he can trap and control the unsaved. But in our lives, what he's doing is laying little traps to make us stumble, to keep us from being as steadfast as God wants us to be. So that's one type of sin. Here we are going along, minding our own business, not thinking about anything in particular. Here comes Satan with a trap for us. It could be a trap for our mouth, or a trap for our actions, or a trap for our attitudes. And when we are trapped, we have two options. We can either stay on the cross, or we can let the old man come down off the cross and defend ourselves. And that is the discussion for today. Satan was called the most subtle creature that God ever created. He's sneaky. He's a deceiver. And he's full of deceit. And he's always with cunning trying to slip around and trip some of us. The way we deal with Satan is simply to say no, just like Jesus did. When Satan says, "Wouldn't it be nice if you did this? Wouldn't it feel good? Wouldn't it taste good? Wouldn't it make you a more important person?" And what we do is say no. We say no. And it says when we say no to Satan, he flees. He cuts out. He's looking for somebody that he has a little bit more power over. So that's the way it says in 1 John that there are some of us who have overcome the evil one. How do you overcome the evil one? By saying no. By doing what you know to do that Jesus wants you to do, and not doing what your old man wants you to do based on the lust that's in the flesh. Thing about it, those traps don't work if you see them. No trap, no snare works if the intended victim sees the trap. But there are so many of these traps that Satan has that are invisible. We can't see them. And we don't know. And he puts them in tall grass and in bushes and in places where we're not watching. And our next step, we step in the middle of one of his traps and wind up making him smile. God knows where all the traps are. And he can tell us where they are. That's what David is saying, that God plucks his feet out of every trap, that he doesn't get trapped like he did before. in Psalms 37 and verse 23. It says the steps of a good man. Now, who's a good man? It's not about doing good. It's not about being good. Because Jesus, when He saved us, made us righteous. Every born-again believer is a righteous person or a good man. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, that word ordered means to safely place. So our steps, the Christian steps, if God is guiding our steps, they are placed so that they'll be safe to us, are ordered by the Lord. And He delighteth, God delights in our way. When we walk like God wants us to walk, when we ask Him, what should I do in this matter? Where should I go in this matter? Where should I be? God delights in that we ask Him how to keep us out of trouble. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Now, there's two things out of that verse right there that I've gotten for years. Number one is God is never any further than the length of his arm from me and you. Never. We've looked at some scriptures that talked about that not long ago, that David said, wherever he went, he looked up and God was there. So he's never too far away from us to keep us, to allow us to fall flat of our face. That word utterly down means to be flat of your face on the ground. We never get to flat on our face because we land to our knees. When we get to our knees, God grabs us and straightens us back up. So even though we stumble, that word means to go to your knees. We won't be utterly cast down or flat on our face because God picks us up. We never get that far. Now, for every Christian in the world, that calls for a pretty tough job, doesn't it? And we're beginning to see some of these things that God does for each one of us every day. He's there if we will use Him. If we choose not to use Him, and when we sin, then He turns His face away from us, Psalm says. Look in Luke chapter 10. Now, Jesus is talking with His disciples here, and He has sent them off, the 70, and they came back, and they sent them off in pairs, in twos, and they came back, and they're all talking with each other, and they're all very excited about how they had control over demons that were in people. And at that time, the average crowd knew that Satan was ruling the world. And when they saw that this man Jesus and his followers could control Satan, they'd never seen that done before. And it astounded them that these men had power over Satan and death. In Luke 10, in verse 19, Jesus is telling those men who have come back and says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. Now that's the main point right there. Jesus is telling them He gave them power over the enemy, over Satan. So as Christians today, God has given us power over Satan. He cannot make us do anything we do not want to do. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now that promise right there is for those who choose to let their life be guided by God. It's not for everybody. It's long, and it's not for everybody all the time. If we do not go on the cross, climb the cross every morning to be with Jesus all day, and we stand there and allow the old man, our old man, to climb down off that cross, we're capable of doing all kinds of things. Then it gets to that point in Romans chapter 7, as we were talking about, where there's a fight going on inside of us. There's a joke that's been out for as long as I can remember about the preacher talking about a black dog and a white dog inside of us fighting. And somebody asked, well, preacher, who wins? And he said, whoever you feed the most. So see, we're still in control of who's going to win that battle inside of us between Satan and Jesus. So this whole thing is about being on the cross with Jesus and dying to ourself and to sin. And therefore, the title, Sin and Self. Now, we just discussed this thing about Satan coming into our life and interrupting our life with his interference, trying to get us to sin. But then there's that other issue. That other issue that Satan is not attacking us at the moment, but through carelessness and unwatching, we allow our old man to come down off the cross. Now, how do we do that? Suppose somebody offends you. You've got two choices. You can stay on the cross and forgive him, or you can come down and cuss him out. That's the way it's done. Somebody can do something to you that has hurt you, and you can forgive them and go on and say nothing, or you can go all over the community talking about how sorry they are. That's the kind of choices we have here. And we can choose. Jesus had a choice to come down off that cross. We know that. And he chose not to. He did that for us. But you see, I've got a choice too. I can stay up on that cross with Jesus and live like him under his influence all day long. Or I can come down off that cross and act like I did before I was born again and defend myself. You know, it's so much of this verbiage that you hear in a day. I've gotten to the point to where all these lawyer commercials on TV talk about things that we deserve. You see, that appeals to our old man. That appeals to our old self, our sinful self, and to satisfy our lust. Because God said we deserve hell because we're sinners. But you see, he went through and chose a group of people that would not have to go to hell for their sin, and they became Christians. Now let me say this. You've heard it, probably been a part of the conversation about dealing with sin. What is sin? And is this a big sin or a little sin? Well, it's just a little white lie. You know, it's not really a lie. But if it's not really a lie, then it's part of a lie. And a part of a lie is a lie. And so we differentiate between sin in our lives really and truly to protect our reputation. But the fact is, as far as God is concerned, sin is sin. And he treats all sin the same, except for one. And in the scriptures, it says that doesn't a man know that when he commits adultery, that he sins against his own soul? That's the only one I know that is handled any differently than all the other sins. Paul says in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 and verse 31, I die daily. Now see, there's another expression for dying to sin. He dies to himself and to his sin because in that word usage, he climbs up on the cross and he lives with Jesus all day. He dies every day. Some people I know start off the day by saying, Lord, I thank you for today. And please guide me today, because I'm going to try to follow you all day long. And by doing that, it keeps them from doing a lot of things they would do if they weren't thinking about it. The old man wants to climb down off the cross. And there goes the fight. He wants to get down and do what he wants to do. He wants to defend himself and his rights and his reputation and all that. And he's probably going to sin in the process of doing that. Satan is always looking for a way to get the old man, that man that we were before Jesus took over part of us and asked us to let him have all of us. He's always looking for a way to entice that old man down off that cross and do the things he did before he was born again. I mean, we got to realize that so many of us in the church have targets on us, and rightly so, I think. They talk about hypocrites. They talk about, well, he's in the church and he's always on church on Sunday morning, but then when you go to do business with him on Monday, he'll steal from you. That word is out there. And it's out there about us, people who come to church. And I think it's logical that we should live up to that picture of us that God has of us, that we shouldn't be caught in public doing things that the old man would do, because the people don't know much about Jesus at all, but they know about the old man. See there, he's in church every Sunday. You see the way he acted? It's important that we keep our Christian reputation among people who we might be called on by God to share Jesus Christ, and who you have given that old man picture to is probably not going to consider you a very or give you very many credentials to speak for Jesus. And they talk about us all the time, and we seem to make light of it because we say that we ought not to be kept under that kind of a scrutiny and under that kind of a bright light. But I think Jesus expects us to. I really believe he does. And that is a problem that I've become aware of. And the thing that was as I've put together these last 10 or 12, 15 sermons, that there are so many people today who claim to be Christians, and they live like the old man. And they don't consider it important not to live like the old man. And so that is the thing. Living like the old man is the thing that keeps Jesus from being able to protect us from all kinds of problems that are in our way, whether they originate with Satan or not. We know that Satan does not live in hell. We preached that two or three times. Satan was kicked out of heaven as Lucifer, and when he landed, he did not land in hell. Satan has never lived in hell. Satan landed on the earth, and he's lived on the earth ever since he was kicked out of heaven. This is his realm. So, in what James, the brother of Jesus, talks about, that when we get too friendly with the world, that we can't serve God. We don't see ourselves as pilgrims, as people that are here for a while. And as one song that I think maybe the Kingdom Heirs, I don't know, is it that I'm just passing through, that I won't be here for a little while, that my citizenship is in heaven. So we got a choice. We got a choice. When we see the steam boiling up and our faces getting red and we're gritting our teeth and fixing to say something that Jesus would not like for us to say, we've got a choice. Do we climb down off that cross to say it, or do we stay up there and let it pass? That is the two origins of sin. either coming from the situation that we allowed, because we can keep ourselves from that if we'll stay up on that cross, or sin from Satan, who is always trying to make us shame the name of Jesus Christ. We get careless and we don't watch. And when it happens, we come down. The new creature is what Jesus is trying to control in each one of us. The old man is ourself. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 11, if you will turn there, please. Romans 6 and 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what he's talking about. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members are instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? It's a choice. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. So, we have a right, or people have a right, to call us whatever they want to call us at the time for whoever it seems to them that we happen to be obedient to. I can remember when Jesus was talking to Peter, and Peter started talking as if he was reading the script from Satan. Nobody was there but Jesus and Peter, and Jesus said, "Satan, get thee behind me." Satan wasn't obviously around, but he was telling Peter what to say. And so Jesus acted like that Peter was talking for Satan and told Satan to get behind him. That's the way the picture is. When we talk like Satan, Jesus has to talk to us as if we were speaking for him. And we lose our testimony. Our testimony is important, people. And there's somebody who is watching you, there always is, who probably God is going to use you at some point to turn them over to Jesus and become his children. And it doesn't take but a word or two to get that person where he will never listen to you. So we have to watch what we say and what we do and how we act all the time, or we lose our effectiveness here on this earth. We have a choice. Jesus wants to be on the cross all day. And the old man, Satan, wants the old man to climb down. Let's keep ourselves on the cross. Let's pray. Jesus, teach us to be like you were. That even though you had a choice, you said that God could have sent 10,000 angels to take you off that cross, but you chose not to do it. Give us strength to make the same choices, to do the things in our daily lives that we know would be approved of by you, and not get careless, and let our souls fall into the trap and act like we did before we were children of yours. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.